Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right. What we've been talking about is proving the will of God. Remember? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Remember, what's the word prove? It means to authenticate. It means to pass the test. And it also means to examine. So, when I'm in the will of God, I can examine. I can examine people. I can examine people if they're in the will of God. Not judge them, not criticize them, none of that, but I can examine them. You see, this is how you want to choose your friends. You want friends that are concerned about doing the will of God in their life, because if they're not concerned, then they will pull you out of the will of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good habits. The good habits you have in the following the will of God will be corrupted because of the company you're keeping. So we want to be in the will of God. Are you with me? So we've been talking about the peace of God is the will of God. Okay? So it's not God's will for us to be worried, anxious, you know, fretting, panicking. That's not God's will. God's will is for you to walk in peace. The peace of God. And it says in Philippians 4 that the peace of God will protect your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You see that? So when you have an awareness of this peace, you're gonna not allow things to take it, because you want that protection under that peace, see? And it says in Romans 16:20 that the peace of God crushes Satan under our feet. That's where I like to keep him, right up under my foot. Are you with me? So I can do that with the peace of God. Now, so we talked about last week what takes our peace, what steals our peace. Give me real quick Proverbs 10:12, if you would, Tim. Hatred stirs up strife. Strife is ugly. God hates, He abhors strife. Remember? We talked about being annoyed. You know, and when the word annoyed means disdain or contempt between people. Its root is strife. So when something is annoying you, it has the potential for you to get into strife. Because this hatred is not about hating people. It's about hating what they do and how they do it. So if your husband isn't picking up his socks, get over it. Show him some love. Show him some love. Tell him, hey, this is a problem. We need to work on this. Talk to him about it, but don't let it annoy you. You hearing this? God says we're to love. Always prefer the person above the situation or what's going on. When you allow things to annoy you, you're allowing strife into your life. And you stop the Holy Spirit from working in your life. Because strife is pride. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride only comes strife. That's how the devil became the devil. Because of pride in heaven. He wanted everything. You see this? Strife, you got to get the strife out of your life. If you want the Holy Spirit to direct your life and guide you, you need to protect the peace that you have. Because that's how God is going to lead you and guide you. If you're always upset and at odds about something, and you know, he can't work in that. And he won't. And if you have children in your house and you're always bickering and arguing in front of them, they're going to rebel. Strife breeds rebellion. The Bible says where there's strife, there's every evil work. Every evil work. James chapter 3, we're going to look at that later. Now watch this. So, love covers all sins. It doesn't cover it up. It covers it. You see that? In other words, I'm going to put you and your well-being above anything that bothering me and annoying me. You come first. You see that? My children, my wife comes first. Because we're to prefer others above what we want. But you see, when we want something, and we want it our way, it creates tension and strife. And that's what's going on. It's your ego. It's your ego that's being challenged. Now, today we're going to look at another thing that takes our peace. Here's the thief of peace. Comparison. Comparison. People comparing themselves with others. Go with me quickly to Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Now listen to me. The word sound, you know what it means? Peace. Peace. That's what it means. Some of your translations, the NIV version says, peaceful heart gives life. Peace is what sound means. So when I have peace, it's life to my body. Energy, life. You wonder why you're depressed? You better look, strife's probably somewhere. Now think about this. But envy is rottenness to the bones. Envy is what we're talking about today. Envy is the root of comparison. Envy will make you unhealthy. Envy is ugly. Envy, says in James 3:16 and 17, envy is demonic. Demonic. And we all can go there quickly. But when we identify it, we can keep it from taking our peace. You see this? And I'm going to help you understand. And watch this. Now look. Comparison. Good comparison would be like an example. A person who, you're married. You're newly married. You know, I used to look at my grandparents. And I always wanted my marriage to be like theirs. So they all, you know, they would sit on the front porch. And every night after dinner. And giggle. And, you know, love. And I remember my grandpa, I woke up at 5:30, had to go to the bathroom. You had to go through the kitchen to go to the bathroom. And my grandmother was out there making biscuits in the kitchen on a wood-burning stove. And my grandpa walks out of the bedroom because the bedroom was connected to the kitchen. So he walks out, and I got one eye around the corner, and I'm watching everything that my grandma's doing in there. And I watched grandpa walk up and pinch her in the butt. And it just made me... I was like a little boy. I just thought, this is heaven. And then he turns around and just, I hadn't seen this. He embraced her and just like, I could feel it. And that's what I said. That's what I want. Are you catching this? That's a good comparison. Now look, the kind of comparison I'm talking about today in this message is the kind the devil uses to plant negative thoughts about yourself, about others, and about God. And its root is envy. Envy. Now, this is a ploy the enemy uses and can cause us and keep us from fulfilling the will of God in our lives. It can keep you from and cause you to be apart from God's will. Now, go with me to John chapter 21. We're going to look at this. 15 through 22. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." Now listen. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, loved following, who also leaned on his breast at supper and said, "Lord, who is this one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" He's pointing to John, the one that John said he loved him the most. John said, "I'm the disciple who Jesus loves the most." Isn't that something? He's the one that proclaimed that. Nobody else did they? But now look. He said, "What about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" In other words, he's saying, what are you concerned about John for? What's that to you? You follow me. And that's what he's saying to all of us. You know what Jesus was doing here? You know why he told him about his death? He was prophesying to him how he was going to die. He ended up dying upside down, a martyr. And so that's what Peter was questioning. Well, how's John going to die? What about him? How's he going to die? See? And Peter ended up dying upside down. If you go over to Israel, you'll find in St. Peter's Church upside down crosses, because that's how he died. He was crucified upside down. But now listen. The reason Jesus was talking to Peter and letting him know, he was removing his cowardness. Because see, remember, it hadn't resolved of the rooster. When the rooster crowed, Peter denied him. And he was a coward. In Proverbs 21:8, it says, "But the cowardly, the fornicators, the adulterers," goes on to say, "will all have their place in the lake of fire." God doesn't want you to be a coward. Jesus was telling him, if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to follow me, you can't be a coward. You can't be a coward. You know why else he was speaking to him? He kept asking him, do you love me? Because love, the love of God, first, it has to be first. It has to be above your children. It has to be above your spouse. It has to be above everyone. I got to love Jesus first. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. God has to be first in your life. And that's what Jesus was settling. If you love me, follow me. Keep me first in your life. Now listen. You can love people. That doesn't mean you're going to love God. But you can't really love God and not love people. Did you catch that? If God is first in your life, if God is first in your marriage, you're going to be in a bless me contest. That's a reality. You can have paradise on earth right up under that house with the roof leaking. When you got God first. Am I making sense? That's how it is. This shakes me up. Because the love of God is what God is calling us to. Now look at this. And it keeps strife out. Why? Because you're too busy putting God first and not other people and what they're doing to you. It keeps it out. And you got the peace of God. Strife and annoyance will keep you right where you are. You'll look back and you'll be an old, curmudgeoned, bitter person. And you never fulfilled what God created you to do because of annoyance. Allowing people and things and the government and this and that bring annoyance to your life. Now listen. Jesus and the 12 disciples, Peter, James, and John were especially close to him. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen. Peter and John likely felt some rivalry amongst each other, each wanting to be the greatest follower of Jesus. Peter wants to hear that John will suffer as much as him. But that is not what Jesus says. What did Jesus say to him? If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And this is what he's saying to all of us. This is what he's saying to all of us. Jesus is letting him know that his role is not to be concerned or worried or anxious about someone else. And he has no sympathy for comparison. Peter could not accomplish his mission of sharing the gospel if he was focused on comparing himself with others. Neither can we. Neither can we. Comparison can be a curse. Unhealthy comparison makes us insecure, miserable, competitive, gossipy, and even bitter. It produces thoughts and feelings about God, ourselves, and others that are inaccurate, counterproductive, and even destructive. Comparison produces feelings of both arrogance and superiority and insecurity, inferiority. Constant comparison with others will always beat you down. When you compare yourself with other people, you may think you're better than them. That's pride, and that's superiority. But now watch this. You may think they're better than you. That's insecurity and inferiority. See that? I'm going to tell you something. nobody. We're all in the same in the eyes of God. Are you catching this? All of us are the same in the eyes of God. Now think about this. Comparison is the reason for insecurity. Studies show that more than 90% of all fashion models have a very low self-esteem. Out of all the groups of people, you would think that these beautiful people would not have a low self-esteem. But they do. And it's proven. You know why? Because they're always comparing themselves with other people. It beats you down. It makes you inferior. You see that? Oh, you getting this? God has your... He's trying to tell you who you really are. And that's really what matters. Constant comparison with others will always, always beat you down. Comparison keeps us focused on people rather than God. Comparison keeps me focused on myself and others rather than God. That's why Jesus said, "You follow me. You follow me." Get your eyes off John. You can't be focused on him and do what I'm asking you to do. When I'm constantly comparing myself with everybody else, I cannot fulfill the will of God. Comparison hinders your trust in God. Now listen. At a subconscious level, comparison keeps us doubting, mistrustful of God. Watch this. Because of being offended at Him. Listen to me. Like Peter, what about people who are richer or better looking than you are? What about those who are smarter, happier, or have better marriages? There will always be someone who seems to have everything better than you. Comparison can create a barrier between you and other people, and between you and God. But it will also plant seeds of mistrust and even offense against God. Listen. Jesus, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, Peter was concerned. He thought that Jesus loved John more than him. Listen to me. Why would he have me martyred and let John live forever? Is what Peter was saying. Listen. This is the seed and the kernel of doubt and mistrust that the devil uses to plant in our hearts to separate us from God and people. Rejection of who God has made us to be is the root of comparison. Rejection of who God has made us to be is the root of comparison. Something will never be right in our relationship with God, and we will never be free until we can sincerely thank God for who we are, what we are, and where we are. When you can sincerely say that, now you're going to be able to fulfill the will of God. Comparison makes us believe that God loves other people more than He loves us. And that is not true at all. Because every one of us are His favorites. Every one of us are His favorites. Comparison causes us to be resentful and rejection of others who have what we want. Ooh, there's envy. Some of the people we resent the most, listen, have only done one thing wrong. Some of the people we resent the most have only done one thing wrong. They have what we want. If we cannot accept others and their blessings, and celebrate them, listen, there's something wrong with us, not them. Comparison makes us try to be something we are not. Comparison makes us try to become something we are not in order to measure up and feel good about ourselves. You can only be you. You cannot be someone else. I remember when I was in second grade. And watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. And I'll tell you, the first time I saw them, I said, man, that's it. I mean, I was a kid, you know. I bugged my dad to go get me some Beetle boots. You remember the Beetle boots. Well, anyways, I got me some Beetle boots. And I'm telling you what, some tight pants. They had tight pants. I remember I had my grandma. She could sew real good. And she pegged my pants. You ever hear that? She'd take the seam and sew it, get them all pegged so them boots stuck out real good, you know. I was bouncing to school like a... And I grew my hair, and it's curly, and it wouldn't hang down and over my eyes. So I grew it, and I would straighten it before I went to school. So it would hang over my eyes so I could, you know, like the Beatles did. And so at show and tell, in second grade, show and tell comes, I go up to the teacher, I say, you know, we want to sing some Beatles songs. She says, oh, okay, she got excited about that. This is going to be good. So me and my friends, we get up there, no guitars, no nothing. We just get up there and we start singing and acting like the Beatles, you know. Can't you picture that? But I wanted to be one of them so bad. You know what? We still do stuff like that today. Some of you aren't even in second grade. I want to hold your hand. Oh, please say to me. Boom, 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 boom. Listen. You can only be you. You cannot be someone else. Every person has a unique calling and destiny. If you feel like you have to be a doctor, a lawyer, some type of, engineer, high-level position, superstar, whatever, you'll never be happy. Here's the idea. You need to be you. You need to be you. God created you to be you. The only thing that you can truly succeed in and be successful in, listen, is being you. Anytime it's anything else, you're not a success. When you become you, now you're being successful. God loves us all equally, but according to Psalms 139:16, He fashioned every one of your days and has written them in a book. He's got a book on your life. When you get into the will of God, you're into the plan of God and the purpose of God. Life takes on all new meaning.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday morning at 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.